KUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Hostages Square in Tel Aviv, filled with thousands of people waiting to see on a giant screen the expected return of 20 living Hamas hostages anytime now, as the Israeli military says the Red Cross is on the way to pick up the first Gaza hostages. Linda Gradstein has more from Jerusalem on how the transfer to the International Red Cross is supposed to unfold.
Israeli military sources said the hostages will be freed in two waves, the first at 8 a.m. Israel time and the second at 10 a.m. after President Trump lands in Israel. Thousands of Israelis flocked to Hostage Square in Tel Aviv, and others lined the road near Gaza with Israeli flags. The hostages will meet their families at a military base near Gaza before going to the hospital, where they will stay for at least a few days.
The timing has not been announced for the release of Palestinian prisoners. They include 250 people serving life sentences for attacks on Israelis, in addition to 1,700 seized from Gaza during the war. President Trump will speak to the Israeli Knesset and may meet with hostage families before he heads to a region-wide summit in Egypt. Correspondent Nancy Cordes is in Sharm el-Sheikh.
One of the main things they're working on is, what does Gaza look like after the war? Who is going to govern it? Who is going to rebuild it? How much is it going to cost? One of the things that President Trump is going to be doing here in Sharm el-Sheikh is leaning on regional leaders, in particular from wealthy nations, to help foot the bill for rebuilding.
President Trump said on Air Force One that he may send long-range Tomahawk missiles to Ukraine.
I might have to speak to Russia, to be honest with you, about Tomahawks. Do they want to have Tomahawks going in their direction? I don't think so. I think I might speak to Russia about that, in all fairness. I told that to President Zelensky.
Trump and Zelensky spoke by phone Sunday. Federal workers are going to start to feel the financial pinch of the government shutdown this week. On Wednesday, they'll receive only a partial paycheck, with no more checks to come until the government reopens. CBS's Torrin Small reports the pinch affects many essential workers.
Affected TSA agents, FAA agents, members of the border control, and military people. President Trump recently said that he has directed his Department of Defense secretary to redirect funds in order to pay troops.
The shutdown is entering its 13th day, with Congress not due back in Washington until Tuesday. Meanwhile, Vice President J.D. Vance is warning of deeper cuts to the federal workforce as this shutdown continues. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 540 WAUK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in 7 games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in 5. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people, or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with 5 receptions, 18 carries, for a total of 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said, last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and 2 touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 540 WAUK.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Slight chance of a rain shower on your Monday, otherwise clouds in 68. Cloudy skies, mid-50s for Monday night. On Tuesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday, partly sunny, 61. 65 again Thursday.
Right now, it's 55. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. You can win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha, and Jane Matinier is in to talk about headlines. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 540 WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Alba along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast on this Friday, TGIF, October 10th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the crossroads of Fairchild and State Street. Beautiful day. Let's take a quick look out at the old Sam Davison street cam out there. Look at that. Sky is out. Leaves a golden yellow. People mulling about, getting ready for the big homecoming game. Wisconsin hosting Iowa tomorrow. You can hear that game across many of our stations tomorrow night. Pre-game show starting at 4 o'clock with the kickoff just after 6. Many thanks to Mike Mankey. How about that, Zommers? That was fantastic having Mike here along with us.
It really was. And the thing that stuck out, that struck me the most, is you've said since I first met you that the best thing you can be in broadcasting is genuine. And that really came across from him, and it explains why he's so good.
Great guy.
He's himself.
And those football and Badger basketball games would not be the same without hearing his voice. So many thanks for him to stopping by today. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, just after the farm report, late entry onto the rotation today. Cannot be happier about it. Our sports reporter, Mike Clemens, going to be coming to us from Green Bay, Wisconsin, at Lambeau Field, where the pressers are underway for this week's game. It'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. 1 o'clock start time for the pregame show there on Sunday, October 12th. And speaking of the Packers, we are so happy, so honored to have our next guest here joining us via StreamYard to talk about this great film, the poster of which is right behind me if you're watching on the stream, No Packers, No Life. It is Ty Morris, who is the producer and star of the film No Packers, No Life, joins us. Ty, thank you so very much, and welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Fired up to be here.
We're fired up to have you here. I'm thrilled. I've seen the trailer of the film. It's so cool. And we're going to give away, you guys at the film have been so kind and generous. We have two VIP world premiere tickets we're going to give away here in just a couple of minutes for the world premiere next Wednesday, October 15th at 5:30 at the Marcus Theater in Waukesha. By the way, folks, you can still have a limited number of those available, and part of the proceeds go to the Boys and Girls Club of Wisconsin. You can find it at nopackersnolife.com. But I'm thrilled about this film. Ty, you're the star of the show. How did you come up with the idea to make this film?
It was all by accident, and I wasn't supposed to be the star either, but I just happened to be the person that stumbled upon the Japanese Packers cheering team in Tokyo on that fateful day. So it just happened to be me, and 100-plus visits to Tokyo, is 40 million people. The chances of me stumbling upon these guys, it's nearly impossible. But it happened. So here we are, 7 years later. We have a film of it.
I think it's incredible. And tell people who weren't with us yesterday when Sean Hannish was with us, but tell us the quick version of meeting at the intersection in Tokyo and how this really started.
Yeah, it's wild. Again, I'm in Japan all the time. Never seen a Packer jersey in Japan ever. On any given street, there's 100-plus bars on any block in Tokyo. It's like, you know, if you've never been there, it's like Manhattan, except in 2 hours in every direction forever. Right. And on this day, we had just come from a cherry blossom festival. We were hanging out in the park, having some beers, playing some music, and we were going to karaoke. We were getting ready to go sing some Bon Jovi songs, man. And we roll into karaoke, and I see this dude with a Favre jersey on. And I just kind of whisper. I'm like, what? I'm like, is this real? I'm like, go Pack, go. And the guy turns around. He's like, go Pack, go. And I'm like, go Pack, go. And then he goes, go Pack, go. And, you know, his English wasn't great and my Japanese isn't great. So I was so fired up to see a Packer fan. We just literally for the next 20 minutes spoke in a language of the past 40 years of Packer players. So it was just back and forth naming players. And as we're doing this, all these other people, guys and girls coming out of the woodwork with jerseys on. And I'm like, what is this? And they're like, we are the Japanese Packers cheering team.
That's incredible. I mean, I never knew this existed before I heard about this film.
I mean, and talking to them, they just exuded with this passion. And I'm like, what are you guys doing here? And they're like, we're getting together. I'm like, it's not the season, it's spring. They're like, no, we're getting together to watch our favorite game from the fall. So they're just coming to hang out to watch a game. And they were in karaoke because you can rent out these rooms and you have a party in these rooms and they have all these screens. Yeah. So we're going to sing. These guys are going to watch the Packers. And I'm like, well, I mean, how many games have you guys been to? How'd you get in the Packers? They're like, no, most of us have never even been to America. We've never been to a game. And that's when this whole story kicks off, right then and there when we met. Like, well, we have to fix this.
So we're talking to Ty Morris, who is the producer and a star of No Packers, No Life. You can find more about the film at nopackersnolife.com. So was it your idea to put this pilgrimage to the football Mecca together?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I've spent my entire life. I have many friends that are more talented than me, and I've spent my entire life recruiting them for projects. So I've been a fan of movies, but I have no idea how to make one. I have a production company, but I'm usually supporting, again, more talented people. And I do the same thing with my record label and most of the projects. And as I'm talking to these guys, I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, first I'm not thinking about a movie right away. I'm thinking we have to get these guys to Green Bay.
Right.
They have to go to a game. Like, they're rabid fans. They're talking about the Packers. And I'm like, man, you guys are so intense. We got to get you there. And then as I called my childhood friends, Brandon Grant and Jaden Merritt, back home in Green Bay that night. And I said, I just ran into these guys. We got to bring them to Green Bay. And then as we started figuring out how to bring them, I'm like, we have to document this.
Yeah.
And then I started roping in my friends that know how to make a documentary.
Well, I can't wait for Wednesday night. We're going to do our show live from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha. Hope to have you on then next week on Wednesday as well. And let's do a little business here. This is why we've been promoting this. All right, Zomers, here we go. Time to play No Packers, No Life giveaway. Here we go. Clear the phone lines, Zombies. We got to clear the phone lines. We can't have people waiting on the phone lines.
All right. So, sorry to anybody who might be waiting. Right, I'm about to drop your call.
We're going to clear the phone lines to give everybody an equal opportunity here. All right. All right. So here's how it's going to go. The producers here, the promoters of No Packers, No Life, have been so kind that we are going to give away two tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Here's the caveat. You must be able to go next Wednesday, October 15th. The reception starts at 5:30. The movie starts just before around 7 o'clock. Is that right, Ty?
Yep.
All right. So you got to be able to go. All right. That's number one. So I'm going to give you a trivia question, and the first caller, we're going to take you in order that you call in. First caller with the right answer wins. All right. Here's the question. On yesterday's show, Sean Hannish announced a third former Green Bay Packer player will be at the VIP world premiere of No Packers, No Life. Name one of the three players. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Again, on yesterday's show, Sean Hannish announced a third former Green Bay Packer player will be at the VIP world premiere of No Packers, No Life next Wednesday in Waukesha at the Majestic Theater of Marcus. Name one of the three Green Bay former Packers that will be there. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Once again, phone lines lighting up like a Christmas tree, Ty. This tells me a lot of people are excited about this great movie. Let's take our first caller. All right, caller, who is this and where are you from? Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Jim in Brookfield.
Jim in Brookfield. All right, Jim in Brookfield, listening on WAUK. Yesterday, Sean Hannish announced one of a third former Green Bay Packer will be at the VIP world premiere on Wednesday. Name one of the three players.
He mentioned they probably will get Amon Green as a third. Antonio Freeman was definitely one as well.
You are absolutely correct. Nice job, Jim in Brookfield. Obviously a listener to the show. It's Antonio Freeman, Amon Green, and George Kuntz are going to be there. Sure. Jim, can you go next Wednesday?
Definitely. My wife and I can definitely make it. We're right here in Brookfield, and it's just, well, it's on the other side of Brookfield, but we definitely can be there.
Fantastic. Well, don't hang up. We're going to get your information. Zomers will get it off the air. You'll be able to meet Ty and the former Packers, get some great food and drink, and most importantly, be one of the first people in the state of Wisconsin to see this great film. Congrats, Jim, and thanks for listening on WAUK.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ty.
All right, thank you. There you go, Ty. The public is excited.
I love it so much, man. I cannot wait till people see this movie. I cannot wait.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, and we went through this with Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry, who I know are involved in this film, and also Kelly Call on Just a Bit Outside. But I know as filmmakers, you guys watch this thing several times trying to get it right. What, as you continue to watch this film, what is something that really stands out to you? And you're like, man, that I hope people get that part.
I mean, there's two layers that stand out to me every time. And I mean, I've gotten to enjoy it also, I have to say, from a different perspective, because I'm not the director, because Craig Benzine directed it. I've been able to, see slower iterations of it. And so it's been a different process for me. But what I've gotten to see and what I'm excited for people to see is there's a Wisconsin story, a story about our state, our team, who we are, what we are as a state, what type of people we are. And then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community and love, honestly, just camaraderie over something completely unexpected. And every time I watch the film, I see both of those layers. I see the state I grew up in and the things I love, and then I see the a universal appeal to the entire world.
I think this is a great lens to look at something that we all grew up with, but through the eyes of somebody who looks at it totally differently. And I can't wait to see this film. Again, limited tickets on sale for next Wednesday's world premiere at Marcus Theater in Waukesha. Go to nopackersnolife.com. And then it opens up in southeastern Wisconsin, also Green Bay, Madison, and Gurney, Illinois, going into enemy bear territory. I love it. And you can find tickets at marcustheaters.com there as well. And hopefully, just like Just About Outside, it keeps on growing and you go to more theaters. But people, I hope people get to the world premiere. Again, the $100 tickets, part of that goes to Boys and Girls Club. So thank you for helping out a great cause. And if you didn't win today, folks, join us on Monday. We're going to give away two more tickets. Ty, congrats on this film. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us. I'm excited for everybody. World premiere is going to be awesome. It's going to be one big party and celebration. So thanks for having me here.
Well, we can't wait to join you next Wednesday. And again, you all listening and watching can buy tickets at nopackersnolife.com for the world premiere and at Marcus Theater's website for the showing in Marcus Theaters across Wisconsin after that. Ty, we'll see you next Wednesday. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Our pleasure. Come on back. We'll do a little What's Worse for You involving Badger football. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 540 WAUK.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks for everybody who played along on our No Packers, No Life, can't say text to win, call in to win trivia contest today. If you didn't win, don't worry. Going to give you one more chance on Monday. Be listening on Monday in the 3 o'clock hour as we will give one more pair of tickets away to No Packers, No Life. Great film. Cannot wait to see it on Wednesday. We're doing our show from there at Waukesha, the Majestic Theater, the Marcus Theaters. We're going to be there, going to be bringing you more interviews with Ty, with Sean, with Paul, maybe even a couple of former Packers working on that. So we'll see. Hopefully. That should be a lot of fun. So join us on Wednesday, and you can join us in person if you win the tickets on Monday. So be listening to this coming Monday show. Going to give away two more tickets to No Packers, No Life. If you want to assure that you're there, you can purchase tickets at nopackersnolife.com. All together, nopackersnolife.com. Zommers has it up on the Chiron. For those watching the stream, you can also find it in our show notes. Yeah, they're $100, but you get really good free food and drink, like don't eat before you go type of thing. Like, it's really good food. And then you're going to meet the filmmakers and some of these former Packers. And here's the cool thing. part of the proceeds are going to go to the Boys and Girls Club of Wisconsin. So check it out. No Packers, No Life, for the world premiere event on Wednesday. And then you can buy tickets for the regular showing in Marcus Theaters in Wisconsin by going to marcustheaters.com. It's going to be shown in Southeast Wisconsin, along with Green Bay, Madison, La Crosse, and Gurnee, Illinois, and perhaps more theaters coming forward as well.
And it's possible that this ends up on streaming like Just a Bit Outside, hopefully. But there's no guarantee at this point.
No guarantee.
And also, having seen Just a Bit Outside with big groups of people, either at movie festivals or at theaters, you got to watch it on the big screen with a crowd. It's so fun.
It is.
Crowd gets into it. I imagine this will be much the same.
Yeah. Anticipate that it most likely will. All right. We got Mike Clemens coming up after the bottom of the hour. So let's do a quick version of What's Worse. Here we go. All right, time once again for What's Worse. Nothing to give away, no prize money involved, but it is your chance to have your voice heard in all 10 News Talk and Sports Radio Network stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Category, as Mike Lucas says, timely indeed. What's worse, losing to Iowa, or as my grandparents used to say, my grandpa and grandma, my granddad and grandma, all ball, Iowa, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Weigh in. Also, could give us a text on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, download it to your Apple Android device. Takes less than a minute. It's free, the Civic Media app. All right, Terry in Cross Plains, yesterday's big winner for the No Packers, No Life contest. Terry in Cross Plains, listening on WMDX, says losing to Minnesota is worse. Our son went to Iowa, still no love for them. And my husband said, at least you're not a gopher. It's the last game of the year and you want to go out with a win. There, you nailed it right there. Thank you, Terry. Brett in Brown Deer listening on WAUK says losing the Axe is much worse. Besides, a Badger shouldn't lose to a gopher.
I didn't think about it that way, but that's a good point.
Chris in Blue River, listening on WRCE, says losing to Minnesota, always Minnesota. You can check him out with Saturdays with Simo, by the way, on WRCO. Great music in the afternoon. If you don't live in Southwest Wisconsin, download the Civic Media app and check Chris out on WRCO. On Saturday afternoons as well. Mike in Spring Green, speaking of WRCE, is tuning in WRCE Richland Center. Mike in Spring Green, Mike, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota, what's worse?
Well, two points I want to make. One, losing to Minnesota is worse because my wife is from Minnesota, so I never hear the end of it. So, and that goes for college or, you know, pro. And then the other question with Iowa, you know why Iowa doesn't have a pro football team, don't you?
Why is that?
Well, if they did, then Illinois and Minnesota would want one, too.
Best line of the day.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Fantastic. I love it, Mike. Thank you so very much. Have a great weekend on Wisconsin. Heather, first of all, PJ, I guess. PJ on YouTube says losing to Minnesota is worse because it's the battle of the axe with Iowa. They usually have a tough team tough team, so it's expected. All right, fair enough. It's been a battle back and forth. Heather, listening on WCFW, the tap up a beautiful Eau Claire, says losing to Minnesota is so much worse. The Axe game is huge, right? Totally. I think that's absolutely true on that. What's worse, losing to Iowa or losing to Minnesota, talking to about college sports? Mark in Prentice Sack says the Packers losing to the Vikes.
Our own Chris Casper, a Minnesota fan, takes exception to that. Yes. And Mike's comments saying skull.
Great engineer, great guy. His football legion slightly misplaced.
You know, we'll excuse it this time.
We'll excuse it. He's enthusiastic and he's tried and true to his team. So you got to give him that. Losing to Iowa, losing to Minnesota Zomers, what's worse?
I got to go with the crowd on this one and say Minnesota. Because again, the axe is so, like, just in the picture we have, the axe is in that picture, and it's a nice physical reminder Plus, I like when Todd gets to say the Flexters.
Roger, listening in Stevens Point on WFHR up in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids. Appreciate your listenership, Roger. He says losing to Minnesota is worse. Can't lose the Axe. Iowa stands for I owe the world an apology. Yes, absolutely. Losing to Minnesota is worse. What's better? Mike Clemens, our sports reporter on the other side. Live sports report from Lambeau Field. Also talking about the Crew and the Badgers. Right now, farm news with Pam Yonke on the Civic Media. Ready to...
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report. Throughout your day on 540 WAUK.
CBS News special report, joy in Tel Aviv's Hostages Square. Israel says Hamas has handed over the first seven hostages to the Red Cross as part of the Gaza ceasefire deal. There was no immediate information on their condition. Red Cross says it's a multi-phase operation overseeing the release of 20 total hostages and later release of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel. President Trump puts it this way.
War is over. The war is over. Okay, you understand that?
BBC's Lise Doucette is describing the scene in Hostages Square.
The square packed. You can see many people wearing the Israeli flag. Already there's American flags too. And there are Israeli and American flags hoisted along the highways between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, including huge banners thanking President Trump.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Toscano.
Baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers meet for Game 1 of the National League Championship Series at AmFam Field. The last time the Brewers made it this far was in 2018, when they lost in seven games to this same Dodgers team. The Dodgers then advanced to the World Series, but lost to the Boston Red Sox in five. College football. The Badgers, with another poor performance, losing 37-0 on homecoming to the Iowa Hawkeyes. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell.
Fall camp, I would tell you that we were in a better place. No, we're not better than most of the people or maybe anybody right now that we're playing.
NFL, the Packers over the Bengals, 27-18. Green Bay running back Josh Jacobs led with five receptions, 18 carries, for a total of 150 yards and two touchdowns, even though he had the flu.
I really don't know where it came from. Just kind of woke up this morning just not feeling my best. I told him, I said last time that I felt that way, I had 130 and two touchdowns. So it is what it is.
That's Josh Jacobs with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Candy's family still has trouble watching one of his biggest hits. Candy was self-conscious about his weight throughout his career and did not like the mud wrestling scene in Stripes. Candy passed away in 1994. He insisted on wearing a shirt throughout the entire scene due to his modesty, despite being encouraged to take it off by other filmmakers and cast. You can learn more about what made one of the most beloved Hollywood icons tick in the documentary John Candy, I Like Me, which dropped Friday, October 10th on Prime. When the live-action version of Snow White failed at the box office, Disney got cold feet and halted production on the live version of Tangled. Now it appears the production is back on and has its sights set on Scarlett Johansson for the role of Mother Gothel. There is no word yet on who will play Rapunzel or Flynn Rider or any other cast for that matter. Michael Gracie, who directed The Greatest Showman, will head up the project. You had me at Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 59. Slight chance of a rain shower on your Monday, otherwise clouds in 68. Cloudy skies, mid-50s for Monday night. On Tuesday, partly sunny, a high near 65. Wednesday, partly sunny, 61. 65 again Thursday. Right now, it's 58.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Hey, it's Dan Haney. Join me weekday mornings between 6 and 9 as 540 WAUK presents All News All Morning. We start the day with everything you need to feel informed. Stuart J. Waddles has Milwaukee and local news three times an hour, followed by Leslie Lotto from the Civic Media State News Desk, CBS News, Mike Clemens in sports, traffic and weather, money and market updates. Start your morning drive with All News All Morning on 540 WAUK on 100.3 FM.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, Representative Jody Emerson of Eau Claire talks about her proposals to provide better support for higher education in our state.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Listening to the Todd Albaugh Show, where it's always first and 10 Wisconsin.
Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio. How about that? Many thanks to Mike Mankey for doing a little bumper for us. We'll use that every once in a while. I don't want to overuse that, but I mean, that's a voice right there. I mean, now we got Terry Barr introducing us at the top of each hour. We got Mike Mankey doing a little bumper for us. And the other great voice of Civic Media and person behind it, that it makes my day when we get to catch up with him and talk with him, it is our great sports reporter, the one, the only Mike Clemens, the man about town who is always on the road. We find him at Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Mike Clemens, how are you?
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Not exactly the same voice that we usually hear. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
You're a road warrior, my friend. Watching the Cubs and Brewers last night. Now you're already up at Green Bay, getting ready for the Sunday game against the Bengals. And boy, it's a busy week in terms of sports for a guy covering Wisconsin sports.
Sure has. Disappointed that the Brewers couldn't close the deal last night. And you know, this sounds like dime store analysis, but oh my gosh, how much are the Brewers missing Brandon Woodruff right now?
Yeah.
And year after, you know, remember when the Brewers used to be a home run slugging team, and then they would get to this point, and then they would come up short because of what? Pitching.
Yeah.
And years ago, when pitchers used to go 7-8 innings deeper into games, but they were like, you know, 18-20 game a year winners. I used to say, look, it's the same story, whether it was the Seeligs ownership or Mark Antanasio, is that they get all these home runs, they score all these runs, but when they get to the postseason, if they don't have at least two, you know, close to 20-game winners, they're not going to get through a seven-game series or a five-game series in this instance, and that's exactly, unfortunately, what's happened. And just it sort of became unraveled all of a sudden when Woodruff got in there, and you had Freddie Peralta, and then Quinn Priester sort of locked down that number three spot. And so last week, Saturday, was just incredible at the ballpark. Incredible. I was talking to Mike Vassallo, the PR director of the Brewers. I said, did you guys like have auditions and rehearsals for that crowd? Because he goes, right? I mean, even the Brewers front office was blown away at how impactful the home crowd was last Saturday. And then Charlie Barron's out there, you know, waving the towel to get the crowd going. And the first three innings, you know, just amazing. Brewers going up 6-1 and getting that advantage. So then Murph, rather than stick to the rotation, he goes, look, let's do the pitcher by committee thing. Let's use the bullpen on game two here at home. And then when we go into the enemy territory, then we'll put in the 25-year-old Quinn Priester, who was at 19 in appearances in a row. Whenever he got on the mound, the Brewers would win.
Yeah.
It's an incredible summer. That, you know, he'll be our first one, and that we could go 1-2-3. Well, you know, they won games 1 and 2. He just gets drilled the other night. 39 pitches, and Murph is out there giving him the hook because he'd given up 3 runs, and it didn't look like there was any way he could get out of it. And now, I mean, looking at the list, you know, they used Jose Quintana, who'd been a starter. Chad Patrick ain't worthy of, you know, playoff starting. And the Miz, you know, Jacob Mizorowski kind of got in over his head this summer, and they had put him in the bullpen. He had a great appearance the end of the night. But, you know, and then Freddie gets drilled on you last night. Ian Happ with a two out, men on first and second base, a 1-1 count, and Freddie Peralta, fastball, but he let it hang just a little bit too much over the middle. Happ drills it out of the park, and the Cubs go up 3-0 right away. There was a fun fact they had last night where they said with that, 32 runs scored in this series by the end of the first inning last night combined, 21 of them in the first inning. That's a new Major League Baseball record. So, again, with this Cubs-Brewers series, don't miss the first inning.
Right.
You'll miss all the scoring.
Yeah, no, that's certainly the case. I know you are the gaggle and have some audio here. This is Mike the gaggle, and this is Brewers manager Pat Murphy after last night's game talking about facing the Cubs, as the Captain Tennille once said, do that to me one more time.
You guys had the first two. They've had it the next two. Going into a winner-take-all game five, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you can't force. You know what I mean? Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. You know what I mean? And the Cubs earned it. They had their backs against the wall, and they played great these last two games. They pitched great. They played great. They played great defense. They hit in the clutch. They hit homers. They're built to be great, and they played great these two games. So hopefully the tables will turn when we get into game five at our place. But, you know, we have to find out how bad, you know, we're going to fight back. We have all season. This is not a team that has strung together a losing streak or anything like that. And they've done it in a number of different ways. So I admire our team. I have faith in our team. And I think this had to happen this way. There'll be no tougher environment to play in than they just did. This is a good prep for us. And I think, you know, we'll be ready to play. I'm certain we'll be ready to play in game five.
Pat Murphy, manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, after last night's loss to the Cubs, on playing them one more time for all the marbles in terms of the NLDS on Saturday. You can hear that game across many of our civic media stations. Pre-game show at 6:30, first pitch just after 7 o'clock. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, is on the phone live from Lambeau Field in Green Bay. But Mike, one more, just the final point on this Brewers thing. You're in the clubhouse a lot. You're up in the reporter's row. You've seen these guys up close. I'm going to speak as more of a fan, and you tell me whether I'm completely off base. I know you'll give me an honest answer. As just a casual fan, it seemed like to me that the crowd kind of got into the Brewers' heads a little bit last night. Maybe it was youth. They seemed a little rattled. And I don't know why, I feel good with them coming back to AmFam tomorrow night. I feel like they can do it.
It is. And, you know, and that's what they're talking about, the momentum swing. And then by about the second or third inning last night, the Cub fans are chanting, Freddie,
right, yeah.
Getting into his head, getting mm-hmm. into Freddie Peralta, your ace starting pitcher of the Brewers, when he's on the mound. Yeah, no, you know, atmosphere seemed to have played a part of it. And certainly with Quinn Priester and the night before, a kid who's 25 years old, just turned 25 this summer, actually last month, mm-hmm. who grew up 20 miles from Wrigley Park. You know, he grew up watching these Cubs.
Yeah.
He was at the World Series when they won it in 2016 as a young teen with the family. So maybe that will help, you know, a game tomorrow at AmFam. But, man, you know, it's like the Cubs batters, though, have now figured out the Brewers' bullpen. And
yeah.
when, you know, Happ gets his hits, you know, and Pete Crow Armstrong, when those guys are connecting, and then Brad Keller, their closing pitcher last night, you know, a week ago he was beaning Padres, and they still managed to, you know, win. But
yeah.
last, you know, two nights in a row, you know, total command of his pitches those last couple of innings that he's pitched. They're going to be a tough out tomorrow for sure.
Cubs at the Brewers tomorrow, again, 6:30 for pregame, just after 7 o'clock for the first pitch. You can hear it in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Park Falls, and Hayward tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, on the phone. Quickly, Mike, to the NBA. I can't believe we're already talking about the NBA. They beat the Pistons last night. But maybe the bigger news, once again, these Giannis rumors. Mike, what's to it?
You know what? There's some solid reporting this week. You know, ESPN and their insider shams, you know, put out a story there in August, and it got, you know, downplayed. And, you know, you don't see Giannis denying this stuff, even if he's, like, you know, off the clock, over in Greece, playing for the Greece national team. You don't see him debating this stuff or denying it on social media. And then, you know, the bottom drops out this week. They put out a whole timeline where they say, okay, so the Bucks get into the playoffs. Damian Lillard has a torn Achilles. Their season ends up being over. And then in June and July, John Horst goes to work, and he reinvents the team. You know, let's think about this. A year ago today, the Bucks team would have consisted of Giannis, waiting for Chris Middleton to come back, Brooke Lopez. Those guys are gone, right?
Yeah.
Damian Lillard with the torn Achilles, they release him. And then Horst pulls off this tremendous trade where he gets Miles Turner away from your competitors, the Pacers, and rebuilds that roster, and also brings back the guys that they were peppering in throughout last season. And the Bucks seem to think that Giannis said, oh, okay. And then in August, you know, he changes his mind. So Horst flies to Greece and meets with him one-on-one with Giannis and his agent. And Giannis says, you know, what would it take for me to go to New York?
Yeah.
Like, as a destination. He's not interested in Houston. He's not interested in some of these other teams that might have been interested in him. The only problem is that the Knicks, they gave up all that capital for Mikal Bridges, you know, the 29-year-old that took Villanova to the national championship a couple times when he was in college. And they've given up four or five of their first-round picks. They just paid him a four-year deal, $150. So the word is this, is that maybe by February 1st, there's a four-day window where Bridges would be allowed to be traded to another team if, you know, maybe Horst comes up with some three-way deal. In the meantime, I think what will happen is Giannis is locked in. He will give you 110%. They'll see how this season goes and how this team plays out. And then maybe by February, they'll make a final decision on where he's going to go next.
Hopefully he can stick around Milwaukee. I just can't imagine the Bucks without him. But as you know better than anybody else, that's professional sports. All right, 3 minutes left. I want to get to both of these things. Badgers hosting the Hawkeyes tomorrow night, and the Packers against the Bengals Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field.
3:25. You're taking on Joe Flacco, who you just played a couple of weeks ago as the fill-in veteran quarterback for the Browns, and they won 13-10 in that. Then, you know, he kind of falls out of favor with the Browns, and so they bench him. They play a game in London against the Vikings. He and his wife make the flight back. They're full of jet lag, and then they get a call from the Browns saying, hey, we just traded you to the Bengals, and they've got a car to pick you up here in Cleveland. So he drives down there, and he's got 4 days to learn the Bengals' offense. So that's going to be an interesting experiment to see. But Flacco's, you know, 40 years old, 18-year veteran, and he's just got to kind of learn. He knows the plays. He's just got to find out what their terminology is. But he's got two great weapons with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, those two great receivers. So that'll make it a game, you know, for the Packers on Sunday. Packers, though, their kicker, Brandon McManus, he's warming up on Wednesday's practice, and all of a sudden he feels a tweak in his quad and his kicking leg and his thigh. So he's maybe kind of questionable. We're waiting for the injury report to come out today. But, you know, they had to bring in Greg Joseph and some other kickers to take a look at for workouts, just in case they need a backup.
All right. So, again, the Packers can be heard on many of our fine stations. 1 o'clock for the broadcast start, 3:25 or thereabout for the kickoff from Lambeau Field. You can hear it in WRCO Richland Center, CQM in Park Falls, RJN in Kenosha, WAUH in Wautoma. Mike, less than a minute left. Anything I haven't asked you want to get in?
No, just you'd like to see some progress from the Badgers tomorrow night at Camp Randall when they host Iowa, or as Grandpa Albo would say, Iowa.
That's
Iowa,
right. Hawkeyes. He used to say that. Iowa. Yeah. I'm really hoping they can get a win, the Badgers. I have a weird – I feel it's going to be like a 17-16 Hawkeye win, but I hope not.
Let's make it a happy homecoming weekend right. In Madison, right?
Absolutely. We're going, Zomers and I. All right, Mike, thanks so much. Appreciate you. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you, my friend.
Thank you, boys.
All right, thank you, Mike Clemens, a great sports reporter from Lambeau Field.
As Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A weather update. Beautiful fall weather. That much I can tell you for the weekend throughout much of Wisconsin. Little chilly up north for our listeners in Amory and Hayward. Those already seen some frost in some places up in northern Wisconsin. A couple of freezes. So in some parts of the state, getting pretty cold. Growing season is over, as they say. Has not gotten to 32 degrees yet here in Madison, but I'm sure it's coming pretty soon. Although next week, I think still temperatures in the upper 40s, low 50s at night.
So. Who knows anymore? Certainly not me.
I'll take the night's weather here. Get out and enjoy yourself, whatever you're going to do. And then after weather update here after 4 o'clock, it'll be our great sports reporter who you just heard from, Mike Clemens, will be back in with an update from Green Bay. Also talking about the Badgers this weekend. It's homecoming here in Madison. I really hope that the Badgers can pull off the win against Iowa tomorrow. Zomers, you and I are going courtesy of Trey V. Olson, who is so kind enough to give his tickets. He has his obligations in Green Bay. Since they moved it to the night game, he can't stay for the game, so he's going to be up in Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, he's got to do what he's got to do, but still, yeah. I thank him just the same for the ticket. And yeah, I hope so, because this will be my second game I've been to at Camp Randall.
Oh, nice.
And
have you been to a night game yet?
Yes, it was a night game. It was the season opener this season. And we did not do so well that game.
Well, this year or last year?
This year.
Well, they won.
Yeah, but it was not pretty.
All right, well, I'll take an ugly win over pretty loss.
Very true.
So anyway, we got the Wisconsin Badgers hosting Iowa tomorrow here at Camp Randall. Of course, we got the Game 5 Brewers hosting the Cubs, 6:30 pregame, 7:08 for the first pitch on many of our stations. And then on Sunday, you got the Packers against the Bengals at Lambeau Field. So all of that, or is it at Cincinnati? On my note, it says at Cincinnati. So maybe I got that wrong. Zomers is going to look it up and keep me honest. As our friend Matt Flynn says, great show today. And it really was. It was a fun show. And Mike Mankey on, Badger PA announcer. Many thanks for him for coming on. And we're going to have him back soon. Wonderful historian of Badger athletics in Wisconsin, in addition to being a great PA announcer, all-around great guy. Also, many thanks to Ty Morris, who is a producer and star of No Packers, No Life. Again, you can find out about that film at nopackersnolife.com and purchase tickets there. And our own Mike Clemens for being here as well as Zomers. Did we find out, Zomers, where the game is at?
It is at Lambeau Field.
It is at Lambeau Field. So a mistake in the notes. We'll correct that. So at Green Bay. All right, very good. That's why I ask. I think that's great. A little potpourri, or as we say back home, potpourri of news headlines before we go. Been talking a lot of sports today. That's fine. If you didn't watch the LA Dodger Philadelphia Phillies game last night, wow. It ended in the 11th inning, in the bottom of the 11th inning, when relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, Orion Kerkering, was on the mound. And instead of throwing, it was a infield blooper. And instead of picking up and throwing it to first base, which would have gotten the out and ended the inning, he panicked, basically. And to his credit, he faced the press after this and said, I messed up. And he threw to the home plate while his catcher was pointing to first base, and the ball went over the catcher's head, and the Dodger runner scored on an error. That's how the game ended.
That's got to feel bad.
That's how the Dodgers got into the championship series, was on an error by the Philadelphia Phillies pitcher. I can't imagine, but to his credit, many of his teammates came over to him right away, the Phillies teammates, and consoled him. And his manager stood behind him. And the kid faced the press afterwards. We can't play it because he used some colorful language, and I didn't get it to Sommers in time to clean up. But Orion Kerkering, credit to him for facing the press, for taking the responsibility. And I hope that Philadelphia Philly fans do not let this one incident define him as a pitcher, or certainly as a person. We all mess up. Some things just happen.
I think it should define him as a person, in that afterwards he took responsibility and was like, yep, I messed up.
Yeah, absolutely. So shout out to him. Also, Barry Weiss, remember her? The creator of the Free Press online publication, only been around about 4 years, just sold it to Skydance Paramount, i.e. CBS, for $150 million. Well, we'll have more on this next week. She just had her first big meeting with CBS News people. Get this is real. As reported by Semaphore and Wired, Barry Weiss is copying Elon Musk and asking everybody at CBS News to send her a memo of what they did last week.
Because it worked so well for Elon.
So that's what people at CBS News are dealing with. We'll get into it more next week. What is it with people now, you know, like, what did you, tell us what you did. What do you do?
Very office space. So right. Tell us what it is exactly you do here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about more about that next week. Also, Sean Duffy from MTV's Real World in Northern Wisconsin, most recently our Secretary of Transportation, he posted something a day or two ago. Pat Kreitlow, our friend and colleague of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, he put this out there that Sean Duffy is making fun of, or like they tore up an LGBTQ crosswalk flag, and Duffy's all excited about it. I've got some photos and some posts from his Real World days and his underpants, and I don't know. I think he protests a little bit too much, Sean Duffy. But we'll talk about more of that next week as well. Hey, been a great show. Great week. Get out, enjoy the weekend, your family and friends. Touch grass, as the kids say. If you don't do that, we're cooked. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you on Monday. Maggie's next.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. 7 Hamas hostages, the first of 20, have been handed over to the Red Cross in Gaza. Thousands of people jammed into Hostages Square in Tel Aviv, watching on giant screens, letting 2 years of emotions flow. There was no immediate confirmation on the condition of the hostages, who were being taken to a military base where they will reunite with families. BBC correspondent Yolanda Nell has more.
People have been greeting the positive news that's come through about the first 7 hostages actually being handed over now to the Israeli military within Gaza, we're told, with cheers and, you know, real looks of relief, because there's been so much anticipation about all of this. You know, there's joy that a deal has been done, but there's also a lot of sadness, and, you know, people are